grateful and very thankful to be able to be here again with all of you today. A little bit sad, actually, since this is part three of our three-part series. So next week, I don't know what I'll be doing on Sunday morning. I may come anyway. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. We are in the final message, part three of our series that we started a few weeks back. It was called Plain and Simple, and the premise of it was simple. It was that sometimes religion makes connecting with God complicated, and Jesus came to make it simple. And we talked in that first week about how Jesus's invitation, whenever he was talking to somebody, his first invitation was always the very simple invitation to follow. It's the same invitation he extends to us. It's to simply follow. It wasn't change your life. It wasn't start doing this or start doing that. It was simply to follow. And so whether he was talking to Peter, who was a good guy, he said follow. Or if he was talking to Matthew, who wasn't a very good guy, it was the same invitation. It was simply to follow. And then what we saw last week was that this amazing thing happened to people who started to follow. Because as they hung out with Jesus, as they stood by him, stood next to him, just followed him wherever he went, they started to believe in the things that he was saying. Right? They started to believe not just in the words that he said, but also they started to believe that he was actually who he said he was. That he was the one sent by God. And so this following came and it led to believing. And that part, for many of us, it's easy to get. We get that, right? We're willing to follow, especially if I tell you, hey, there's no attachment to it. You don't have to start following any rules. You don't have to start doing this or that. We just want you to come and stay close to Jesus. And some of you have been coming here, and that's what you've been doing. You've been following. You've been staying close. And some of you have even experienced that aha moment, that light switch that flipped on, and suddenly you got it. And you're starting to believe. But where we get tripped up is on the third part. Right? We're okay with the follow. We're okay with the believe. But we have a lot of trouble with the obey. And if you've grown up in church or if you remember the first time that you started going to church, part of the reason that we have trouble with that is because churches in the past have messed this up. Because when you came into the church, for many of us, the first thing they told us was not follow. It wasn't believe. It was obey. You walked inside and they said, listen, we'd love that you're here, but now you have to obey. Right? They said, listen, you've got to clean up your act. And once you are ready to obey, then we're all right with you coming in. But if you're not ready to obey yet, then please, there's a side door. Because for churches, for too long, they've started with the obey. But that wasn't Jesus' purpose. See, the obey part was not a measure of how much that we love God. Jesus' purpose in his teachings was to get us to center our lives around his teachings because he knew that they would make a practical difference in how we live our life today. It's not about, can I get God to love me more? It's not about, can I get God to approve me because I'm following the rules? The obey part was supposed to be a practical application for us to learn how we can structure our lives to make it through life today. Not in the future, but life today. And this amazing thing happened to the Christians who actually decided to order their life around what Jesus said. Their lives completely changed. They became generous to a fault. They had peace no matter what was going on around them. They took care of people. They forgave people. And the people on the outside watched them And because of the way that they followed Jesus' teachings, Christianity spread like wildfire. It didn't spread from the following. It didn't even spread from the believing. It spread because the people outside looked in at how Jesus' followers lived their lives and said, hey, that's different. Those people are different. They smile even when things are going wrong. They are able to sleep at night when the world is falling apart. And Christianity spread because the people on the outside wanted to know and wanted to be a part of that group of people. But we get it wrong when we start with the obey part. In fact, some of you may have people that you know, or maybe some of you in this room had a time in your life where you walked away from the church because you weren't told that the first step was to follow. You weren't told that the next step was to believe. All that you were told was, here's a list of rules and it's time for you to obey. Now think about the most famous list of rules that ever existed. The Ten Commandments, right? Everybody who's a Christian, we all know the Ten Commandments. We've all seen the movie Charlton Heston standing and grabbing the rocks and walking out. We know this, right? But I want you to think about something. When did God give his people the Ten Commandments? Did he give it to them on day one? Did he say, listen, here are the rules, and if you follow them, then I'm going to do something for you? No, that's not what happened, right? God went to the people and they didn't even know who he was. And he went and he delivered them out of their bondage with miracles. No rules, but he delivered them. And he said, come on and follow me. And they followed him right out of Egypt. And then God said, listen, while you're here, I'm going to take care of you. And so he fed them miraculously. Right? He protected them at night. He protected them during the day. He saved them from the people who were trying to kill him. And it wasn't the next day or the next day. It wasn't a week later. It was months later when the people had seen him deliver them. When the people had followed him. When they finally began to believe that this God has my best interest at heart. Amen. It was only then that the rules came down and God said, this is what you have to obey. Not to get me to love you, but because if you follow these rules, if you center your life around these things, I, the person who created you, the person who knows how you work, I'm the one who's going to tell you how to best survive life today. And so that's what he did. Today we're going to talk a little bit about a parable, a story. It wasn't a true story, but it was a story that Jesus told to try to make a point. And it's found in the book of Matthew, and it's in chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 24. But before we get there, before this makes any sense, you have to understand what happened in the couple of chapters right before it. See, right before this, Jesus is telling his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in chapter 5, two chapters earlier. And Jesus is talking to the people, and he's telling them these brand new ideas about how to live. Things that they hadn't heard before. He said, listen, if somebody hurts you, forgive them. Give them the other cheek. He said, if somebody asks for something from you, don't just give them what they ask, give them more than they ask. If someone asks you to do something for them, do more than they ask you to do. He says, listen, forgive everybody. And that's hard, because when you forgive somebody, it's like giving them a free pass. We want them to pay, even just a little bit. But Jesus says, no, listen. Forgive everybody. Everyone? Yes. Well, of everything? Yes. How about this? He says, listen, if you hate somebody, That's a sin. Well, hold on a second. I've read the 10 rules, right? I have to murder them for it to be a sin. And he says, no. You don't get it. This is new. If you have hate for them, it's the same thing. And the people are listening to him and they're thinking, how is this possible? I mean, is this really how we're supposed to live our lives? And Jesus says, yes, listen, if you will just listen to what I'm saying. And this is where he gets into the text. And we're in Matthew 7, verse 24. And he says this, he says, therefore, so he's gone through all of these things that he's telling people, this new way of living. And he gets to the end of it and he says, therefore, everyone, especially you people sitting here in the front row, but everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Now, see, this is part of the challenge that we have today. Because today, in this culture that we live in, we want credit just for showing up. Right? Some of you here, either now or in the past, believe that as long as you were here on the weekends, you were fine. You were a good Christian. Right? We get credit because we showed up. We get extra points if we put a couple of bucks in the offering basket. But that's all we want to do. And Jesus is saying, listen, it's not enough to hear the words. You have to put them into practice. And then he goes on and says, anyone who puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, how many people in here, when they hear that, start singing the song? How many people here don't even know the song? How many people here know the hand motions? Right? There's hand motions to the song. So I'm not going to sing it because I don't sing real well when I'm not in the shower. But he says, whoever puts these things into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the people who were listening to him at the time were going, yeah, that makes sense. Everybody builds their house on the rock. Now, that's hard for us today because we build houses anywhere, right? We build houses in the middle of the ocean. We build houses on the side of a mountain. I mean, we'll put a house anywhere. But in this time and in this context, people who were smart built their house on the rock. They would go and find a nice place and they would dig the dirt away until they found rock. And that's where they would build their house. And so when Jesus said to them, it's like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Everybody there is nodding their heads because they understood what he was trying to say. Yes, of course you build your house on a rock. Who doesn't build their house on a rock? And Jesus is saying, listen, all of these things that I just got through telling you, doing that is wise like a man who builds his house on the rock. And then he goes on. And he says, then the rain came down. And this is the problem. Because some of us think that doing those things is about whether God loves us or not. Some of us think that doing those things is about whether or not we're going to make it to heaven or we're going to end up in hell. And that is not why Jesus told this story, why he gave those teachings, those ideas. It was not about that. Jesus wanted to set us up for success in life because he knew that the next verse over, he knew that the rain would come down. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, see, this isn't something where if you follow what he says on Monday, by Friday, your life is completely different. I mean, it could be that, but it's usually not that. This is not something that you do and has an immediate effect on your life. Jesus is saying these teachings that I'm telling you lay a foundation for your life. It is a foundation for your life to be built on, because one day storms will come. Rain will fall. And he's saying that if you build your life on this foundation, when they come, you're going to be fine. Because he tells us, it says in his word, that in this life we're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble with your marriage. You're going to have trouble with your children. You're going to run into financial problems. You're going to run into bad business deals. You're going to run into people who want to hurt you. The world is going to have problems. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that we have to build our foundation on what he teaches so that we can survive when those troubles come. And then he goes on. And he says, but, this is for all of the skeptics. He says, but, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And that, I would imagine, for some people there is kind of offensive. You're calling me a fool? But see, we all run into the temptation to be the foolish man, right? Because, listen, it's much easier to build your house on the sand. It's convenient. It's fast. It has a beautiful view of the ocean, right? When you're done fishing at the end of the day, you don't have to drag your boat all the way up the beach, across the road, over to your house. You just pull the boat up right next to your house and you're done. Building your house on the sand makes life easy. It makes life beautiful. But the problem is that Jesus says, if you do that, you're a fool. Do you know why? In verse 27, the rain came down. Now look at this. Jesus is showing us the exact same picture of what happens to the house that's built on the rock as the house that is built on the sand. It's identical. They go through the exact same storm. They run into the exact same problems. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And us, we're thinking, wow, that is such a sad thing to do to a beach house. But in this time, everybody is nodding their heads because, of course, if you build your house on the sand, that is what's going to happen. This was completely practically understandable by everyone who heard him. If you're going to do something this foolish, that's what's going to happen. There was no surprise here. And so Jesus is contrasting the two. And he's saying, listen, if you build your foundation on what I'm teaching you, when the storm comes, you're going to be okay. But if you build your foundation on something else, then you never know what's going to happen when the storm comes. So Matthew is looking at this and he's watching what's going on. Matthew, the writer of this passage who tells us of this account, he sees Jesus and he sees the teachings and he sees the people who are listening to him. And this is what he says in verse 28. He says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, when he was done, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. See, the people who were listening to him, they thought this was all very strange. This is all new stuff. It was a little bit farther than what they expected. But the way that Jesus said it, he taught with authority. The way that he presented it, they believed that what he said was true. They knew that there was something about this person, Jesus, and the words that he was saying that was different than he had heard before, than they had heard before. And for many of them who had been following for a long time many of them who had come to believe were starting to see the practical benefits of the obey part. Now, for those of us who are sitting in this room today, or like me standing, since I'm standing and you're sitting, this parable that we've heard is either a comfort or a warning or an explanation. See, for those of us who years ago decided that we were going to order our life around Jesus' teaching, we can tell you stories. I can tell you stories about how the storms came. And we can tell you stories about how rough times in our marriage came, about how financial problems came up out of nowhere, about relationship problems with our family, with our children. And what people will tell you who have made this decision, what they will tell you is this. They will say, I don't know how I would have gotten through that tough time if it weren't for Jesus. Amen. They'll say, you know what? That thing almost wiped me out. But good thing I had Jesus. And we would say that the reason that we got through those tough times is because we had faith in Jesus. And Jesus would say, listen, your faith is great, but it wasn't that. The reason you got through the tough times is because you put into your life the obedience part, the practical application of what I said. And you've seen that because you ordered your life the way that I am telling you to do it, that you were able to get through those storms. And so we look back on them and we say, yeah, I made it through because Jesus was there. And so for us, it's a comfort. For some of you here today, it's a warning. Because you're looking out and the sky is blue and there's hardly a cloud. And you're thinking, everything in my life is good. And I don't see the need. Because, listen, the follow part, hey, I'm all for that. Especially if I don't have to do anything. I'll be here every week. Right? I get to hang out with you guys. You know, we get to laugh. I get to see everybody. I get my hugs. I mean, it's great. The follow part is easy. And you know what? I've even started to believe some of the things that I've been hearing. But when I get to the obey part, that's where I have a little bit of trouble. Because the obey part means that I've got to turn my life upside down. I've got to make some changes in my life. And frankly, right now, I don't see the need to do it. Because everything looks great. And everything is fine. And Jesus is saying this. He's saying, listen, just because you're not feeling the storm today doesn't mean it's not going to come. And you can't fix your foundation after the rain starts. But most of us think that's what we're going to do. Right? We can see the clouds, but we're still okay. I'm fine. Oh, what's that? We can feel the rain. It's starting to fall, but it's just a little bit of rain. And so we keep going on our lives until the downpour comes. And then it's too late to do anything about it. And for many of us here, when we hear these messages like this, you know what we say to ourselves? We say, man, I wish I could have heard that 10 years ago. We say, man, I wish I could have heard that when I was in high school or when I was in college or when I was deciding who I was going to marry. We look back on our lives and we say, man, I wish that I could have understood that here because it would have changed what I'm experiencing today. And so for some of you who are here, this is a warning. It's a warning not that God doesn't love you. It's not a warning that God is out to punish you. It's a warning to say that there are going to be storms. And the time to prepare is not when the storms start. The time to prepare is when the sky is clear and everything is fine. So that when the storms do come, then you'll understand it. You'll get through it. But for some of you here, this is an explanation. Because sitting here right now, you're in the middle of it. You're at that beach house, you're looking out over the ocean, everything you thought was fine, but now the storm is here. and you're going through something awful, and you don't know if you're going to make it. And you're looking back and you're wondering why, because you go to church, you pray, but the storm still comes, and you're wondering now, is God really there? And this isn't about heaven or hell. This isn't about whether or not God loves you. But what he's saying is this. He's saying, listen, the foundation is going to determine whether or not you survive. So what is your foundation today? What it really all boils down to is really one question. It's who do you trust? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust your intellect, your brain, your savvy, your luck? Is that what you are building your trust on? Or do you trust the God who said, I'm the one who created you. I am the one who loves you. Who loved you so much that because I was unwilling to spend a single day without you, I am going to sacrifice the most important thing to me, my son, so that I could be with you. And if you will order your life around my teachings, then when the storms come, which they will, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through. It's not about heaven and hell. It's not about trying to get God to love us more. But it is simply the practical application of our lives today so that when the storms come, we'll be fine. Let's pray together. Father, for many of us here who have made that decision to order our lives around your teachings, it is a comfort today. Many of us can tell stories of times where we thought we wouldn't make it through a financial situation, a relational situation, a health problem. And we can tell stories about how the only reason that we made it through was because we ordered our life around you and you were there for us. So my prayer, Father, for each person here is whether this is a comfort, whether this is a warning, or whether this is an explanation of the things that we're going through right now. My prayer is that you would remind us that obedience is not about trying to earn your love, that obedience is not trying to determine whether or not we're going to heaven or going to hell. But obedience is simply the practical application of your word so that we can be ready when the storms come. Lord, we know that in this world that storms are going to come. And we just thank you for giving us the peace of knowing that if we surrender our lives to you, that you will never leave us, that you'll never walk away from us, that you will always be there for us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the teachings of Jesus, which have the potential to change the direction, not only of our lives, but the lives of our families. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.